Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, look, the markets are pretty slow, pretty boring right now. It's something you and I were chatting about before recording here, and you even outlined that, look, the markets broadly, look at the S&P, have been trading in a range really since April. So we're over 2 months now of a sideways, flat market. I know a lot of the bears are going to say, ooh, that means that a drop is coming, watch out. But I think you can also take the bullish case and say, hey, there could be another pop higher here. Either way, the VIX is low, the markets are boring. Is this the start of, say, an early summer doldrums in the sense of, look, people couldn't go away last year in the U.S. People are traveling. They're getting back to their daily life. Maybe they don't want to be paying attention to the markets this summer, and we can expect a pretty slow summer.
That could be the case. And I think right now what we're starting to see, there's lots of concern. You know, volatility could continue to drop. You're starting to see some of the big investment banks, they're supporting bets on lower bond volatility. And right now, the narrative is, okay, everyone's focused on the reopening of the global economy. When you take a look at the major central banks, though, it just seems that everyone's in wait and see mode. Let's see exactly how hot the economy gets, and more importantly, pricing pressures. Are they really going to make a dent in that argument that no, this could be persistent inflation? But right now, I think the market's convinced it's going to be transitory, and that's why you have the 10-year yield below 160. We're closer to 156 right now. So there's a lot of people just in wait and see mode, and it doesn't look like you're going to get one inflation report, one non-farm payroll report that will really tilt the scales. And the market is, I think, really just content right now. I think for the majority of Wall Street, the consensus is that once we get through this spike in prices, they will stabilize and then eventually start to, revert to the mean here. But you're going to see, I think, investors be a little bit more complacent here. And some more doldrums. It does look like they could be here early.
So, Ed, are you on the bullish or bearish side, or are you not taking a side when it comes to the debate as where the next move is going to come from these markets?
I think right now you're probably going to see an extended consolidation here. It's probably not a surprise to you that I would say buy on any weakness because it's probably not going to be long lasting. I think the U.S. growth outlook is still fairly strong, but what you're starting to see though is there's certain risks emerging out of with the outlook, and I think that a lot of that will have to do more on what's happening in Washington D.C. And I think right now, the Biden administration has had the first 100 days were pretty outstanding for the Biden administration as far as passing through stimulus and really getting the COVID vaccine uptick really hitting his goals. But now I think as you look forward, there is that slim chance that we were going to see a couple more rounds of stimulus from Biden. And now I think everything looks like it could get upended because the conservative Democrat from West Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin, he's starting to stray from the script that he had, just a couple months ago. I think there was this belief that as long as Biden's goals weren't too progressive, they would get the sign off from Senator Joe Manchin. And right now he seems to be the most powerful person in D.C. as he's pretty much the deciding vote in many key issues. And this weekend, he announced that he wouldn't support the For the People Act, which was going to help make it possible for the Biden administration to move forward on certain bills. So I think there's this risk that Biden might not be able to get much more done until the midterms. And when you get to the midterms, it looks like the Republicans might take the House back. So we could be back at gridlock. And with no, carrot to dangle to Wall Street that you're going to get more stimulus, more support, more infrastructure spending, that could provide, I think, a little bit of a pullback here. But with the the world's greatest show, the Fed, I think, investors are still skeptical that you're going to see much weakness in equities because the Fed is not easing up anytime soon. So it's a difficult market to navigate, but I think that you're going to still see investors want to buy on any weakness. But if the outlook starts to look like the Biden administration's done getting anything passed, there could be a good argument for a much more sustained pullback.
So back into that two-sided politics. Hey, one party wanting something and the other party saying absolutely not, no matter what it is. It's an ugly environment, but it tends to be the theme down in the U.S., actually a lot of places in all fairness. Ed, let's also talk about a story that's coming out of the G7 meetings. Now, this minimum global tax, we touched on it in the last couple weeks, but first and foremost, give us a little background on what this minimum global tax looks like, as it is kind of countries going more aggressively or broadly after some of the largest companies in the world.
Yes. So I think this basically came out because everyone, all the advanced economies were concerned of the race to the bottom of the taxes. Everyone was undercutting each other. I mean, Ireland, obviously, with some of the very attractive tax rates, has been getting lots of big businesses there. And I think what you're seeing is there has been an openness to accept this because this will allow for countries to everyone to get a bigger chunk of the pie. And you're going to also pave the way to tax the profits of these digital companies, the mega cap tech giants. And I think that a lot of people are so fixated on, the Amazons and Apples, paying what a lot of people feel is not their fair share. So I think that you're probably going to see that this passed relatively easy. I think that for many, I think there was this expectation that it was going to be a little bit of a hard about. Now, the G7, though, that was, I think most people thought that that would get agreed upon. The next step is now that they got to bring this to the G20. So that's going to be a lot more, I think, difficult. And those discussions are going to happen early in July. So I think, these tax haven countries, they're going to start to voice their opinions a little bit more. And for this to pass, you need to have the majority of the large developing countries approve it. So there's a lot of areas where this might not happen. And especially for the U.S., this needs congressional approval. So as we mentioned earlier, we had no idea as far as, what the Biden administration is going to do. Well, voting on a corporate tax hike, a global corporate tax rate of 15% is probably not going to have a whole lot of GOP support. So I think you're going to see that is there's lots of, uncertainty. Is will this really get passed through? So I think if everything does move forward and you see this massive adoption take place, this really wouldn't kick in until 2023 probably. So and then I think when you looking at that headline though over the weekend, I think a lot of people were one of the first things they would do is like saying like, oh wow, Apple, Amazon, Nvidia, these stocks must have been pummeled. And really, the weakness was minimal. Even Facebook's trading higher today. And I think that's the key takeaway is you have to remember that this tax is on the profits that exceed a 10% margin. And a lot of these companies, their tax situation, like Amazon is paying like 5.5%. Like Netflix is at 11%. So I think, and when you take a look at their effective tax rates, most of them are pretty close to 15%. Apple's at 14.4, Amazon's at 11.8, but they're nowhere near that 15%, 10% margin level. So they're probably going to not really be impacted that much. Now, Treasury Secretary Yellen did say that these companies are going to have to pay their fair share. So it's going to, I'm expecting there's going to be some other ways that make like a company like Amazon have to pay more. So I think that this is still going to be changing. We're going to, this is, probably if we're in a baseball game, you know, we're still in the first inning. so as far as where we're going to see the final decision on what the final tax thresholds are and whether or not, the majority of the world is going to approve it. So I think we're nowhere near getting this done. But even if it does pass, the impact will be somewhat limited to some of these FANG stocks that it seems so far. So that's why we're not trading that much lower. And that kind of probably explains why, you know, today's weakness is very limited.
Okay. So again, this is a developing story. Nothing that you're getting on either side of, I guess, for the markets or for these individual stocks. Final comment then, Ed, what's important to watch this week or even throughout this month that could draw some investors maybe back from their vacation houses or off the sidelines into the markets or into any other sectors?
Well, I think there's a couple of key risk events, as I like to call them this week. I think, well, you have to stay, tuned into what's happening with the Iran nuclear deal talks. I think that is a story that if you can see oil prices swing $10 in either direction, and if there's much more sanction, if it seems like the timeline for sanction relief is a lot better than people are anticipating, you could see that start to weigh down on oil prices. Or let's say it doesn't look like we're going to get a deal before the Iranian presidential elections next week, then that's probably going to be a big concern for people who are pricing in this deal to get revived. So that's a key event. We have rate decisions from the ECB, but I think that's, for the most part, everyone's in wait-and-see mode. They're going to keep their pet buying intact, and maybe they'll provide some support that it could be lowered in the third quarter. I think the focus, though, for currency traders, a lot of them will look at the Russian rate decision. They're going to raise the key rate, most likely 25 to 50 basis points. Today Russia did have hotter than expected CPI, so that's always I think a key story that's evolving in emerging market FX. You're probably going to see those pricing pressures are just building, and later this week, you're going to have inflation reports from Hungary and Czech Republic that hotter than expected readings are going to I think bump up those tightening forecasts. And then lastly, for the U.S., everyone is eagerly awaiting the Thursday CPI report. I think that last month we saw the biggest gain since 2009. So we're going to have a little deceleration from that. But if it's still pretty hot, that might help kickstart, Treasury yields getting closer to 160.
Okay, Ed, great chatting with you. Thanks for breaking down some of the stories that at least have your attention. And again, these markets, they're slow. They have been kind of boring for the last couple months. I'm sure a break will come, but we also need to consider that maybe we are in for a pretty slow summer. Ed, thanks as always for your time. I will post a link to the Oanda website, and that is where everyone can get up to speed with your daily note. Ed, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.